This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la, puddle.
Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la,
puddle.
Sha-la-la-la,
sha-la-la-la, puddle. Dip, 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 get a job.
Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la,
puddle. You made me put it about this time to get me out of my bed of crying for the job.
Sha-la-la-la,
after breakfast every day, you know the warning's on my way.
Get a job. You old timers might remember that one. The Silhouettes. Indeed. We were just thinking about what Andrew Cuomo was going to do next. And the song Get a Job came to mind. That's really why we played it today. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And we're having a little bit of fun with the governor. Maybe we shouldn't be that callously humorous. And along with my buddy, my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, August the 9th already. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Sean Higgins. Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the July jobs report. Most people think it was a pretty good report. We're going to talk about the employment and unemployment numbers and what the Fed's should do or not do because of those unemployment numbers. So stay tuned for that. And speaking of Cuomo, it seems it's no longer if, but when the New York governor will be out. We are going to get some perspective on this. And also the double standard when it comes to right-wing and left-wing gatherings that are going on right now. You know the thing in Sturgis, North Dakota with, I guess, the cyclists? But then you got the Lollapalooza gathering in Chicago. And didn't you have some sort of a gathering of Obama's closest friends, a couple hundred people, without masks? Did you hear about that from the left-wing media? So we'll talk about all of that with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later in the show, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi. And by the way, we are dusting off Wilbur the Duck. We have another edition of Campus Quackery. And it involves an Ivy League college promoting a Black Lives Matter course and the way they are doing it. So stay tuned for that as well. And finally, in our ultimate top 10, we have a goodie. Dust off your geography from grade school. The top 10 longest rivers in the world. The top 10 longest rivers in the world. Let's see if Ed knows what the longest river is without sneaking a peek. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, this is the middle of the summer. You want to look good with the heat and everything. Come on. So get over to Dunedin. Get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop so you look really good. You'll get a great haircut at a low price. They are located in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive. It is just north of State Road 580 Main Street. You can't miss it. It's right there. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773.
And then you don't have to wear a hat, like me.
Yeah, well, you wear a hat to keep the sun out of your eyes, right? Of course, there's no...
No, I wear a hat when I don't like the way my hair looks because it needs to be cut.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever you see me with a hat, it's time for the haircut.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Well, you wear a hat from time to time anyway.
Yeah.
That's a cool hat, by the way.
Yeah.
What are you sponsoring with that hat? I forgot what it said.
Just a little event that happened a couple of months ago. The Buccaneers won a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Buccaneers. Yeah. Okay, forgive my eyesight. I'm looking through a window
here. It's either them or those lightweight lightning people.
I'll tell you what, we are so spoiled here. And we got a baseball team that's
doing second place Rays.
I thought they were in first.
Actually, they're first in the
American
League.
They're in first place.
They're first in the American League.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, are we spoiled or not? We really are a little bit.
Life could be worse. Could be the Yankees.
That's right. Anyway, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. if you listen just before my show, they set me up. That's why I have such a grand audience, because they set me up. They do such a wonderful job from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. That's Paul and Tracy Allen right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Well, we got a lot going on, Ed. I know you didn't watch the Olympics. Maybe you watched some of them and you don't want to tell me the truth, but you didn't really watch.
I just rejoiced when it was over.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because you are like a lot of other people. You chose, for whatever reason, not to watch. NBC has seen its ratings plummet for the Olympics. I mean, the difference between the last Olympics in 2016, 49%. 49%. That's like half the audience. So what's going on? The network admitted it had underwhelming ratings amid a backlash of athletes, you know, protesting the national anthem and empty stadiums.
Yeah, the people that I talked to, their most, as to why they weren't watching the Olympics was the protesting that was going on. They didn't want to see it.
I think you're right.
And be embarrassed by it. The crowd thing, that has nothing to do with it because you're not there.
That's
true. You're watching the TV. It doesn't matter. You watched NFL football last year with nobody in the stands, and it didn't make a difference.
Well, there is something to be said, though, for
The athlete?
For hearing the crowd noise on the TV.
Okay.
I will grant you that most people, that's not a turnoff, though. I agree with you on that. The opening ceremonies, lowest since 1988. I watched some of it, but only in passing. I couldn't sit there and watch it. You know, I mean, I was doing something else, and I had it on in the background, that kind of thing. But I did watch a couple of the things. You know, the American, well, you know this because I'm sure you talked about it on Good Morning Clearwater. The Americans won the most medals and the most golds.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of spoiled, talk about spoiled, right? Let's see. Anything else about this? And, you know, there were some nice people. There was that black female wrestler that was so patriotic.
Yeah.
And she deserved all the attention that they could give her. I'm trying to find her name on here.
Shamara.
Here it is. Tamira Mensah Stock. She wrapped herself in the American flag. She said, quote, I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living here.
Yeah.
I mean, come there you go. You know, she's not going to let anybody intimidate her about...
Yeah.
And also some of the basketball players were somewhat patriotic,
well,
too.
Tomorrow, I would hope that sponsors are just lining up to get a piece of her.
Yeah, because, I hope so,
you know,
too. Yeah, I hope so, too.
There's so many people disgusted with the Subway chain, the sandwich shop, because of the backlash from the kneeling of the women's soccer.
Yeah, Rapinoe.
Yeah.
I've seen her on that that Subway sandwich thing, too. And I'm thinking, no. You stay away from those kind of people.
Yeah.
They are, whatever the word is, you know, you just stay away from them. Anyway, the Olympics are over with. Now we're going to go and have the Winter Olympics are going to be held in China. Did you know that? So we've gone from Japan to China. Now the question is whether or not we will send a team. Whether or not we will send a team to the Winter Olympics. Here's another. Gwen Berry. Oh no, Gwen Berry was a bad person. She was a hammer thrower. Okay, Gwen Berry turned away from the American flag during the national anthem. What an idiot.
Well, that was the tryouts, the Olympic tryouts that she did.
It's too bad a hammer didn't hit her in the head.
But she did make notice that, or she did send notice that if she meddled, she was going to protest.
Well,
she got obliviated. Wasn't even close.
Well, that warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah.
All right, let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the July jobs report with Sean Higgins.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And we had just been talking, Ed and I, about the Olympics now coming to an end. And then Ed brought up the fact that Megan Rapinoe, I think she took a knee at the beginning of the Olympic thing. Now some of the Subway franchisees are fed up with Megan Rapinoe, by the way. The ones that own the Subway branch, you know, the different restaurants, not the overall Subway, because of the way she is and her politics. I do not understand. She's like a lightning rod. You don't want to have someone like that who will immediately divide people as a spokesman. You're trying to sell sandwiches. You don't want people to turn away because of the politics of it, you know?
I'm sure it doesn't matter to them, but I refuse to go to another Subway until she's out of the commercial.
There's a lot of people.
And if you notice, I'm going to get to your guests, but the Subway commercial, Subway has done a complete makeover as far as the bread and their ingredients and stuff like that, kind of to jumpstart this, because they took a real hit from that Jared thing, you know, with the whole molestation kids and stuff.
Right.
And now this is not
They had to get
out.
Away from that. They've made a couple of, I think, a couple of mistakes, you know, recently. You're right. Anyway, we're going to talk July. Job numbers, and actually, it sounds like they're pretty good. Sean Higgins, an old friend of ours from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, he is a research fellow there. He specializes in labor and employment issues. I can't think of a better person to talk with about this. But we added 943,000 jobs last month. We had an unemployment decline to 5.4%. Sean, are those numbers sound pretty good to me.
They're really good. Paul, thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Good to be here.
Always our pleasure.
This was really good news, and it's sort of unqualified good news. You were talking about almost a million people getting jobs. We're getting the numbers back down to within spitting distance of where we were before the whole outbreak happened, because we were at about, I think the number was 3.4% or 3.5% in February 2020. And so we're just 2 points away from being that. And you have to remember that number in February, that February 2020 number, that was astonishingly low by historic standards. I mean, there's a long time when economists thought unemployment couldn't get below 5%. That was functionally full employment, because the 5% was just the people who were quitting and moving from one job to another, or entering or leaving the workforce for one reason or another, this sort of ordinary flow. But we actually got below even that. So we're close to what was historically considered full employment, and there's no reason to think that we can't get back to where we were in February 2020, so long as we just allow the economy to do that. That's the big question.
Right. And that's the all-important question. It seems like, at least right now, with the Biden administration, they cannot help getting their fingers into the pie and trying to arbitrarily change things. I mean, first of all, Biden is taking credit. I don't know what he has done quite frankly, to take credit for this. I think it seems to me this is more kind of a natural confluence of things. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that the administration can take any credit for it, it's simply getting out of the way when they had been in the way previously. Now, obviously, a lot of this was just sort of the shutdowns and the safety measures that were required as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. And once we started to actually seriously get away from that, the economy just simply started to heal itself. We don't need enormous, additional aid packages or additional spending. We simply need to allow people to get back to work. I mean, when you look at these jobs reports by the Labor Department that comes out, the number that I always look at first is the hospitality industry, because that's the people who go to restaurants, that's theaters, that's live performance venues, those type of places, bars. That's where people gather, and if those places are recovering and gaining jobs, then that's the sign that we're sort of moving past the outbreak and people are returning to what was as close to normalcy as we'll get from where we were previously.
Right.
And we need to keep those numbers going up. And the problem with the administration is they have gotten away from this somewhat, but then we just keep every hiccup that happens, there's this, okay, well, we got to return to the way things were, during the outbreak, we got to clamp back down. And that's really not what we need to do. We need to, keep allowing people to sort of, return to work.
Right. Now, some governors are putting restrictions on, or mayors, on, say, going into a restaurant. You have to show identification that you got the vaccine or you got to wear a mask. And I understand that, the private sector has the right to decide what it wants to do. It's their business. Either you wear a mask or you don't, if they decide that. You think that the local governments should have a hand in deciding who goes where with what?
Yeah, I mean, in the general sense, they are responsible for public safety, so they should be issuing guidances and that type of stuff. Whether exactly how far that should be going is, a different question.
You're right.
I mean, I'm on the side of let people take measured risks. If they're willing to do so. I mean, a sort of blanket one-size-fits-all policy that you can't do something generally isn't a bad idea. And it's also, these things are also difficult to enforce. I mean, trying to enforce them becomes this sort of nightmare where you're watching everything everybody does, and that's not really productive either. What they should simply do is just have their health agencies issue guidances and say, look, this is the best practice. This is what you should do. You are your own sort of business, your own enterprise. Adapt to it the best way that you can.
Yeah. We're talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the July job figures, where 943,000 jobs were added to the economy, and the unemployment rate is down to 5.4%, which is shades of the way things were before the pandemic. But now, like you mentioned, the Delta variant is floating around, and there is a fear that we might go into a little bit more of a lockdown again. It's become a political battle. It's certainly become a political battle. Look at our own governor, Ron DeSantis, and Joe Biden on whether or not, schools and masks and everything else. But I wanted to ask you, Sean, are you surprised that we bounced back so quickly from the devastation of this virus?
No, I'm not. I mean, we're a very industrious country. We have a lot of people that want to work and are eager to work. People were cooped up inside their houses for months at a time. They're eager to get out and do things. And so I wasn't surprised that once they were allowed to do that, they would do that, and the economy would quickly recover. I mean, and that's been, I think, the consistent thing every time these numbers have come out. You just give people a little bit of the opportunity to go back to work, and they'll eagerly do it. I mean, there's a lot of stories about how some of the aid packages resulted in some people just deciding not to work and stay home. And those people do exist. But the majority of people just want to get out of the house.
Yeah.
We just need to let them do that.
I think you're right. I think there's cabin fever, even if it means going back to work. Now, The decline in the number of people seeking unemployment benefits. The federal government had been giving $300 a week unemployment pay on top of what the states were giving to their people that were not employed. So now a bunch of states, if not most of them, have stopped that. And it seemed like the numbers in those states reflected, to some extent, the fact that these people were not getting those extra benefits and they went back to work. Is that true? Is that just a coincidence? What do you think?
No, I mean, it's as obvious as it seems. People are, and I don't want to cast too many aspersions on some of the people who took the money and didn't work. You know, if you're offered money and it's more money or about as much money as you could make from working, that's it's kind of a pragmatic thing to just take it and go that way. I mean, I can't blame people for sort of saying this is the best economic option for me of the ones that are available. I'm going to take it. But then once that wasn't available, they just said, okay, well, then I'll just find a job.
Mm-hmm.
They did. And that's really ultimately what we need to do. I mean, the notion behind providing these benefits was that there wasn't a way for people, or the underlying notion was that supposedly there wasn't a way for these people to work otherwise. That's not true. I mean, the numbers show that if you stop doing it, they'll find jobs. And that's how we need to approach it.
You know, the thing about when you start some sort of giveaway program, and I mentioned this one, as well as the moratorium on paying your rent. I mean, once you start down that road and people get used to it. Now, I know Democrats, to some extent, want to prolong these things, whereas Republicans say, no, I mean, this is not what we're all about. And now we've got Biden coming along, the president, saying, well, maybe we can get around this, you know, having to start paying back your rent. But then I'm thinking, you know, these people, it was a moratorium, but you still had to pay back the back pay, didn't you? Like, if you went 3 or 4 months without paying your rent, didn't you have to come back and pay that rent eventually?
That's a good question. I haven't...
I think that's the case. Maybe unless you got some help from the government. The government was sending the landlord checks, but I kind of doubt that. Anyway, it was just, you know, it's this thing about once you get used to getting something for free, it's hard to take it away from you.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, basically, once you give something away for free, particularly in a government, the money doesn't just sort of vanish. It goes to whoever it goes to, and those people become a constituency that will act to try and keep that coming to them. So that's the problem. In the case with the sort of the rental moratorium thing, that's another case where it's a well-intended thing, and you know landlords are easy to vilify. But the bottom line remains: if you can't make money from putting homes out to rent, you're just not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to create a housing problem down the line.
Again, we're talking with Sean Higgins. Sean, what should Biden do or not do? I mean, is there anything they can do, actually take the initiative in any way to continue the good news on the jobs report?
I'm reminded of the phrase that Ronald Reagan used, don't just do something, stand there.
Yes, so true. Just don't do anything, right? Is that what you're saying?
Don't do nothing, but be as restrained as you can. I mean, the problem with like some of the infrastructure bills and this type of stuff is that they've just simply become Christmas trees that everybody wants to hang their ornaments on. I mean, we need to think smaller rather than larger in these situations.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly kind of good news, and I guess the stock market's been doing pretty well as well. Now, for the life of me, I don't know why, but isn't the stock market near an all-time high?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, people are starting to invest, and they're seeing opportunities in that, you know, particularly from some businesses that have been idle as a consequence of that. Now, of course, the fear is that we may go into another sort of similar lockdown situation, and so that we might see a sudden reversal. I mean, there's a number of stories, for example, in the Wall Street Journal this morning about how, you know, companies who had been planning to invest in things for later this year are now pushing that back into 2022 because, again, they're afraid that they may not be able to hold events or various things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the problem with these sort of lockdown things is that they do have an impact on business, because business is always about planning for like the next 6 months or the year, more immediately future, and they have to base that on what they plausibly think is going to happen. And if there's a strong possibility that they're just not going to be able to do anything because of some sort of law or restriction, they're just going to push it back. And so that's going to affect those things, and that's going to have an economic jolt to us that's not very good.
Right. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Sean. I'm glad that we had something positive to talk about with these numbers. It's great. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
All right. Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Good news, you know. All right. Well, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, it seems it's no longer if, but when. We may have both of the Sorace brothers. This is Monday. You never know. If we get Angelo with us, we'll ask him about, he was absolutely positive Andrew Cuomo was going to stay as the governor of New York. Let's see if he's still quite as stoic with that. So we'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday and delighted to have the master barber himself, Andrew Sorace, with us. And Andrew, I'm kind of saddened that your brother isn't joining us up there in New York, because I wanted to talk with him about Andrew Cuomo. You used to live in New York and Rochester area there, but it looks like your brother was adamant that Cuomo would not have to leave. But I'm beginning to wonder whether or not it may occur. Listen to this. He's losing everybody. A top aide to Cuomo has resigned from her spot following the reports. She just said that the last 2 years have been emotionally and mentally trying. Earlier in the week, Letitia James, the attorney general there, had that report. And now this executive assistant, who for a while was anonymous, has come out and, made her presence known. Maybe she's going to be getting, who knows, maybe she likes the publicity, but her name is Brittany Commisso. So do you think Cuomo's days are numbered now?
You know, Paul, the whole thing really still makes me laugh.
It does.
To be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, blacks use racism. Democrats use racism. Women use sex to get rid of somebody. I'm quite sure that Letitia James will be in the running for the governorship.
I think so.
Election.
Yep.
Okay. I think she did a good job of getting rid of Cuomo.
So you think it's a done deal? Do you think he's gone?
You know, the women win this one.
Oh, it's a women's thing.
The women, listen, we don't hear nothing about the 15,000 people that died.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Actually, that's a bigger deal.
About that.
That's the reason he should go. He's going to go on a technicality with women.
That's right. And I think that's ridiculous, because I don't believe half of the women.
You don't?
To be honest with you. No, I don't.
There's 12 of them.
Listen, I worked with
women. You don't think that.
Listen to me. I've worked with women for 25 years doing nothing but women's hair.
Yeah.
Okay?
Did you?
I was very. Yeah, 25 years. Wow. I didn't do men's hair whatsoever. I did strictly women's in my hair salon.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
And I tell you this, I won't trust too many women as far as I can throw them.
Really?
25 years.
Candy is about to throw a razor blade at you.
It don't matter. I'm telling you the truth. I don't trust many of them. They will use anything they can to get even with a man that they don't like, and the sex is their main thing. I've seen it hundreds of times. I've seen women clients destroy their husbands and everything else over nothing.
But you don't believe most of these women. Okay, fair enough.
I really don't.
Well, now I got to play something because of that.
The opinions expressed on the following show.
Andrew.
That's all right.
Okay, well, that's and you're entitled to your opinion, but it does sound like there's overwhelming evidence that he was groping women. Let's be honest.
He's a typical 65-year-old Italian man.
All right.
That's all.
Okay.
Hug and kiss a little bit.
Hug and kiss and grope.
Yeah, the women take it to extremes. Let's give it a. I wouldn't be surprised if Letitia James paid half of them off.
You think so?
Just to get in line for the governorship in New York. I'm telling you.
So he's going to be gone. I mean, he was a possible candidate for president for the Democrats. He was like their golden boy for a while.
He's done.
Okay.
Well, they got their golden boy in there. Look what they picked instead.
Yeah. So now I want to talk to you about the hypocrisy of the Democrats talking about the North Dakota Sturgis motorcycle rally.
Isn't that something, huh?
In the meantime, Lollapalooza in Chicago with many thousands of people without masks, and then that bash up there in the Northeast with Obama and all of those people, and they got photos of Obama and all of them having a grand time maskless.
Now, that was supposed to be 500 knocked down to a few of his closest friends.
A couple hundred of his closest friends.
Now it's a couple hundred?
It was still big.
No, I heard it was supposed to be 700 and was knocked down to 500. And
good Lord.
Servers.
Yeah. All I know is that Ed and I didn't get an invitation, I don't think we would have gone.
We didn't make the cut.
No.
Neither did Nancy Pelosi.
Didn't invite Ann Pelosi either, Nancy Pelosi either.
No.
Because she would have gotten mad at them for not having masks on.
Nancy with the crazy pantsy did not get invited. She was there in the area.
I was going to say, can you see her at the front door with her bottle of vodka and being turned away?
Be a beautiful thing.
It would be a very sad and beautiful thing at the same time. So anyway, we got Fauci again telling motorcycle rally attendees they need to do what they need to do to avoid getting the COVID. But he doesn't say a word about the Chicago Lollapalooza or any of these other events that the Dems or the Libs are holding or Obama. He goes on television. If I were Fauci, I don't think I'd be going on all these talk shows for a while, you know? They've got him linked to that Wuhan lab pretty strongly.
Yeah.
Now. What do you think?
You know, Paul?
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
I know you like him.
I have had the virus last year.
Yeah, you told us that. Yeah.
Now, Thursday, I got sick. I've been sick Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh.
And now I feel great today.
Okay.
I had no fever whatsoever. But I lost all sense of taste, all sense of smell.
You did.
I slept all weekend. I felt tired and exhausted, but now I feel great. So I might have had a new version.
You might have had the Delta thing, the variant,
possibly.
I might have had
the three-day virus.
But yet you had had it before, so didn't you have
antibodies?
That's
right. Well, you would think so. Well, maybe I didn't have
them. Well, but you said you... You lost your taste. That's
what I'm saying. I had the symptoms, though, didn't I?
Yes.
But I was only 3 days. I had no fever whatsoever. I checked my fever for a fever every 2 hours. Never a fever, no taste, no smell, and was very fatigued. I slept off. Now, today, I feel like nothing ever happened.
So if you were a betting man on yourself, do you think you got the virus?
Well, I don't know what I got, but I could tell you it must be the four-day variant.
Wow.
Because, like I said, no fever, but no taste, no smell. and I ate vitamin C's and vitamin D's like they were going out of style.
Yeah.
And I feel great today. So it's kind of amazing.
Now, Nicole.
So who knows about what they're talking about? Shots, no shots, can get it, can't get it. You know, it's all a mix-up. Nobody knows what's going on. I don't think any of them know what they're talking about.
The perception that the government does not know what it's talking about is growing. The latest polling that I have seen, people are less and less comfortable with the advice they're getting from the federal government in particular. Now, we've got a clash, as you know, we've talked about it, between Ron DeSantis, who is our governor here in Florida, and the Biden administration. DeSantis saying, I'm going to let the parents decide about the masks and going back to school with masks. And by the way, don't tell us about vaccine and masks until you could get down to the southern border. Yeah, until then, you have no credibility.
He's 100% right. Now, I can tell you this. If everybody just gets what I had for the last 3 days, we'd be fools to close down schools, put in mask mandates, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 66 years old. I'm a smoker, I'm a drinker, and I'm fine.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You actually are in pretty good shape. But there are people that have a, you know, a compromised system. You know that, older people, now, that you got to worry about.
According
you
to what I was reading today in an article just before you came on, 78% of the people that have been hospitalized for the COVID, okay, have been very heavily overweight. 78%, Paul.
So you think that obesity has something to do with getting
the
virus?
It's like anything else as far as the condition you're in.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. True. Yeah, the better shape you're in, the better you're going to battle anything. There's no doubt about that.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm a smoker, and I've been smoking for probably 50 years, so it should hit me pretty hard too, wouldn't you think?
Well, with your respiratory system.
I mean, to me, smoking the way I smoke is no different than being overweight.
How much?
They're both the same things.
May I ask how much you smoke?
I smoke a pack and a half a day.
Okay, that's a lot. Have you noticed your lung capacity decreasing?
No, because I do. I exercise my lungs. Well, I do lung exercise.
That's good.
So, and I notice that it does work.
So. Yeah. Well, you come in contact with people that come and go into your shop, and so... and I know you've been giving them temperature tests, right?
That's it. I got my little thermometer.
Yeah. It's a rectal, correct?
That's only for the liberals.
Oh, the liberals. That's right. I forgot about that.
Thermometer for the liberals.
Okay. So the business is going pretty good right now? Is it middle of August like this?
Now, what was that again?
Is your business here in the middle of August going fairly well right now?
Yes, I got no complaints at all. I'm still eating. I haven't lost any weight. My bills are all paid.
Good.
Everything seems fine. And you know, all these new jobs. These aren't new jobs, Paul, that have been. But these are people just going back.
Going back to work. I know.
Like, come on, why do they make a big deal out of jobs? They're full of crap. I want to know how many new jobs.
Absolutely. You're right.
And you know what? There's zilch.
I don't think there are too many new jobs. These are old jobs being refilled.
And some of them aren't even going back to the old jobs. Paul was just telling us in the morning
Paul
show.
Allen.
He stopped at Dunkin' Donuts, and only the drive-thru was open because they had no one to work the counter.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's really scary in a way. There's so many. This is going to bring on more robotics. By the way, they're going to bring on more robotics. It'll almost be an impersonal experience to some extent with fast food.
If the government stops giving them money, watch how fast they go back.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then they're going to go, where did this inflation come from? What do you mean gas is over $3 a gallon and $4 for a gallon of milk?
It's Trump's fault. You know that.
It always is.
What's the matter with you?
I just can't. I always get a kick out of Biden taking credit for as much as he can take credit for. He's done absolutely nothing to help the economy. He's only imperiled it. I don't know what. People should call him on and say, exactly what is it that you did that helped bring people back into work and kept the stock market up, you know?
What about the college that removed a 70-ton rock because it bothered the students. The rock is racist. How the hell did you get a racist rock?
I know. I didn't hear all the details. I don't understand it, actually. I don't understand. What was the significance of the rock?
The rock may have dressed up as an African-American during the Halloween party or something. I don't know.
They should have picked up that rock and dropped it right on that school.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a little campus quackery in our next segment, speaking about nutty things when it comes to race and the like. But that's so stupid. I mean, people, this is why I think in November of next year there's going to be a huge turnout to stop this nonsense. That's really what I'm thinking. Do you feel that way, Andrew? Do you think...
Well, you know, Paul, I'm looking at all the racism going on and all the sexism going on, and I'm convinced that the most deprived person in the world today is the white male.
Well, he certainly is the source.
We have no rights. We can be accused of anything. We're racist. We're sexist. We're lazy. We don't do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over it, Paul. I'm over it.
This is the thing, though, about pitting one group against another. I mean, the fact that we even have to talk about the color of a person's skin shows that these Marxist socialist types are winning.
That's right. That's what they want.
They want to divide and conquer.
It's not about their beliefs. It's about divide.
It's a divide and conquer.
Yeah, that's all it is.
That's the only way that they're going to get, because they don't have anything when it comes right down to it. If you talk to them, they don't have anything of substance to back up.
And when you see these statues coming down and stuff like that, it's nice to see like the Olympics where nobody's watching. That hurts the sponsors.
Exactly.
You know, it hits them right in the wallet.
Yeah.
Listen, I could understand them. They get an upset looking at a statue. But a rock?
This is ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
It's gone too far. The whole country has gone too far. It's ridiculous. It's over with.
If the country goes
the way it's going, we're doomed.
Yeah, you know, they got us between a rock and a hard place. Mm. I have to say that one. I couldn't help myself. I apologize.
Well, I can tell you what, the way things are going around here, and Andrew's going to be getting his COVID shot.
Andrew, are you about ready?
I've had it twice now, I think. Why would I bother?
Because times are changing, and you're going to be the last one. Other things have now fallen that had a streak on it. Do you realize that Paul walked into here today with his very own cell phone?
Oh, my God.
I don't know how to use it.
A cell phone.
Is it a smartphone or a phone flip phone?
Yeah, he doesn't know how to use it. He's just carrying it around to look good. God forbid the damn thing rings.
So now because Paul got a cell phone, you think I'm going to get a shot?
Yeah, well, that's why this point is. Times, they are changing. That's all. Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. I look forward to tomorrow with you.
You guys have a good day. Talk to you later.
See you tomorrow for a haircut.
All right. There he goes.
Oh, thank you, too.
He hung up on us. I don't blame him. Maybe so that's why you're wearing that hat. Your hair's too long. Yeah. Mine is too, actually. Yeah. But I'm going to let it go for a while.
Yeah, well, the hat doesn't work for you. It works for me.
Yeah, it looks good on you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bucks hat.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our break. When we come back, as we said, in another edition of Campus Quackery, an Ivy League college promotes a Black Lives Matter course. And we're going to tell you which one.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on our great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. He puts all our shows on podcast, bless his heart. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and look up at the top. There's the word podcast. Click on it. Enjoy the show. All right. Well, we've talked about this university before. At Princeton University is now the subject of our campus quackery today. They're offering a, quote, Black Lives Matter class to students that includes readings from a former Communist Party leader who once made the FBI's most wanted list. Can you believe this? The course promises to explore the historical roots and growth of the Black Lives Matter social movement. It'll be offered to students starting this fall. It features readings from former Black Panther member Angela Davis. I don't know if you remember that name, but she was a big deal. And was involved in the murder of somebody or other in a robbery, I'm not sure. But she was also a two-time vice presidential candidate of the Communist Party. The course seeks to document the forms of dispossession that Black Americans face, and it offers a critical examination of the prison industrial complex, police brutality, urban poverty, and white supremacy. So let's all get in line. Sign up, get in there to Princeton University to take that course. Crazy, but that's the way things are going these days. Now, you know, actually, I have no problem if it's an elective course. I really don't. If people want to take the course, they don't. If they're not being forced, I would have a big problem if this is something that was taught, obviously, in high school, you know, where you're forced to go to school.
Mm.
But at Princeton, if you want to ignore the course, and I hope everybody does, but this is just the craziness of what's going on right now. Very, very sad. All right. So before we get to our top 10, we have a very good one. Got a couple of minutes here, Ed. The NFL season, the exhibition season, I should say, is upon us. And, of course, our beloved Buccaneers, are they going to be playing later this week?
I think they will be home Saturday night against Cincinnati.
Saturday night, okay. So that's coming up. In the meantime, we talked about the Tampa Bay Rays, and despite all the problems with their pitching department, they're still in first place. I think they won again last night.
Back to the Bucs real quick. It's going to be interesting Saturday's preseason game, number one. You're expecting a full house for a preseason game.
Oh, that'll be nice. A full house?
Full house. It's sold out.
That's amazing.
It is sold out. Full house.
You know,
usually people don't go to those, but any chance they can get a catch a game from Brady, you know.
The Rays must be very jealous.
You know, I sell the season tickets for the year. There ain't a seat under $100.
Really? Well, that's what happens when you win the Super Bowl and you got a superstar.
But it jumped from 35. Now, I say that because there was there was a family section.
$100
there was
from 35?
A family section. It was a little sliver in the third deck that you could go there, and there's no cussing, no drinking, and there were $35 tickets. Those are gone.
Wow. That's amazing.
And then they went from 35 to 65 and up.
So, yeah.
Whatever.
But full house for this coming exhibition game. That's good.
Rays are interesting. They just lost another pitcher yesterday.
They did again?
Yes. The new
what
one
is
that
going
they just,
on?
He threw a pitch and threw his shoulder out, fell to the ground, and that was it. But
is there some sort of a curse on the pitch?
No. I mean, they're so deep, you know, with what they have in the, you know, coming up in AAA.
That's amazing.
Like Kevin Cash just says, I've got a stable full of them. You know, we're ready to go. So there's going to be a few coming back, actually.
That's great.
A few pitchers will be coming back off of the injured list.
Okay. Time for our top 10, Ed. This is a good one, I think. These are the top 10 longest rivers in the world. Remember when you were in grade school and you had to learn about all the long rivers, et cetera, et cetera? Let's see if you remember.
We did.
You didn't? Didn't they type? Did you take geography?
I was absent that day.
Okay. All right. Maybe you never took geography, now that I think about it.
I think I did. I don't know.
I'm sure you did.
It's a required course.
Here we go. Top 10 longest rivers of the world. Number 10. It's actually Zaire, the Zaire River in the Congo. And you know how long it is? 2,716 miles. Okay. I'd never even heard of the Zaire River.
See, you can make this whole thing up, though, and I wouldn't even know.
And nobody would know. Neither would I. Number 9. The Irtysh River. That's in Russia. Irtysh, I-R-T-I-S-H. I don't even know where. But it's 2,758 miles long. I wonder if any part of it ever freezes.
Hmm.
Number 8.
Where everything in Russia freezes.
The Parana River. I don't think I'll swim in that one. The Parana, P-A-R-A-N-A.
The swim at your own risk river.
Well, it's actually not spelled the same as the fish, but it sounds the same. It's in South America.
It's enough for me.
Yes, indeed. I don't think I'd go in. 2,795 miles. Number 7. The Yenisei River, back to Russia. Yenisei, 2,800 miles. Number 6, the Wang Ho River. It sounds like some sort of a cowboy call, but it's in China. The Wang Ho or Yellow River. That's another name for it, the Yellow River, 2,900 miles. Number 5, boy, Russia's got a lot of rivers. I didn't realize it. Here's another one, the Ob. O-B, unless they pronounce it Ob, 3,459 miles. Wow. Number 4. Back to China. The Changjiang. Sounds like a trolley car. Changjiang. Oh, it's also called the Yangtze. I've heard of the Yangtze. Have you heard of the Yangtze?
No, but the Changjiang sounds like a sports bar.
It does, doesn't it? Changjiang? Or have you ever heard that song? That's the sound of the men working on the Changjiang.
Changjiang gang.
Da-da-da. Well, okay. Anyway, 3,602 miles. Number 3. One we know. The Mississippi. Mississippi River. 3,710 mile long.
Wow.
You know, it goes all the way from Minnesota all the way empties into the Gulf.
Into the Gulf, yeah.
Number 2. The Amazon. In South America, 3,912 miles. It's 202 miles longer than the Mississippi River.
Mm.
Indeed. All right, Ed. I want to know if you can remember, what is the longest river in the world?
I have no idea.
Come on now.
No.
I'll give you a hint. It runs by the pyramids.
You can hold me at gunpoint and I still wouldn't get it.
It runs by the pyramids.
All right. The Pyramid River.
Well, no. No. The Nile River.
Yeah. That was my second choice.
Yeah. You know how long it is? It's really quite a bit
like
longer.
5,000?
4,180 miles long. It runs through a lot of desert, I would suspect, in Egypt, if you think about
it. How can it be a desert if it's got a river running through it?
Well, that's true. Maybe it isn't. You're right. Is there any sand at all along its banks? Somewhere along the way, I would think. Anyway, that's the way it goes. Hey, thank you so much. We are going to be back tomorrow, which is Tuesday. We thank you for listening. Always remember that freedom works.